Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Comedy Podcast.
Welcome to episode 15 of season 5 of the Old Radio Comedy Podcast. Today's shows are Life with Luigi, starring J. Carroll Nash and Alan Reed, and The Bob Hope Show, which, ironically, met its end due to the rise in popularity of Life with Luigi. Sit back and enjoy the December 21st, 1948 episode Antique Colonial Silver Cup from Life with Luigi, and the April 30th, 1954 broadcast of The Bob Hope Show with guest Robert Ryan.
Chicago, we invite you to enjoy life. Life with Luigi, a new comedy show created by Cy Howard and starring J. Carroll Nash with Alan Reed. A year ago, when Luigi Basco left Italy to start his new life in America, he promised his mother that he would write her and tell her about his adventures. So now, we look over Luigi's shoulder as he writes another letter to Mama Basco in Italy.
Dear Mamma Mia, America is full of wonderful surprises. And yesterday is one more surprise for me. In Italy, if you want to grow a tree, it takes a couple of years. But here in America, it happens overnight. Yesterday, I passed a big lot on a corner Halstead Street. It's empty. This morning, I passed the same lot, and the Mamma Mia is a whole forest of a Christmas tree. I guess the soil in Chicago is pretty good. Or maybe fella, he used a special kind of seed because each tree she grow with a little price tag on a branch. Right now is a big holiday excitement all over America. And the signs all over, they say, there's only 4 more shopping days until Christmas, so shop for now, hurry up. I begin to hurry. Then I look into my pocket. For me, it's no rush. Pasquale, my countryman, who owns a spaghetti palace next to my antique shop, and who bring me to this country, he tried to give me a surprise yesterday. He invited me in his house. He hangs 60 yards of mistletoe over the head of his fat daughter, Rosa. Then he tells me to kiss her. Mamma mia, is it more fun to kiss the mistletoe? Anyway, I'm not thinking about the Rosa right now. Is there no school this week for little kids? So my 12-year-old general manager, Jimmy O'Connor, he's having a good time. This afternoon, he comes back from a park and he says,
"What's on the fire, boss?"
"You smell a smoke, Jimmy?"
"I mean, what's cooking?"
"It's a little early for supper."
"No, boss. I mean, what's doing?"
"Jimmy, please. If there's 3 ways of saying the same thing, say it the right way first time."
"All right, boss. I'll watch myself."
"And while you're watching yourself, watch your English language, too. Sometimes I don't know which one of us is a foreigner."
"Okay, boss. Say, what you doing? What's that book?"
"I'm just to buy what they call a ledger. So for New Year, we start the bookkeeping."
"What we really need around here is an efficiency expert."
"Who's that, Jimmy?"
"Well, an efficiency expert is someone who keeps checking on you all the time.
Oh.
Tells you what to buy and not to buy. And keeps after you to make more money. In America, that's called an efficiency expert."
"In Italy, is it called the wife?"
"Look, boss, you have to change your business method."
"What do you mean?"
"Well, like yesterday. You bought a chair for $30, right?"
"Right."
"And you sold it for $20. Why?"
"Keeps the merchandise moving."
"But, boss, that's not good business. Take any other businessman around here."
"I guess you're right, Jimmy. That the fella on the next block. He buys all the things for $100, $200, sells it for $800 to $900.
"But, boss, he doesn't sell antiques. He sells used cars."
"Same thing." All right, Jimmy. Beginning tomorrow, I be good the businessman. No more buying, just the selling.
What's wrong with starting today?
Because I buy something else today.
Oh, no, boss.
Oh, yes, Jimmy. See, it's right in the window.
That silver cup?
Yes.
How much?
I buy it for $50.
$50?
It's cheap. I call up Dr. Simpson from museum. He's going to look at it. I think it's the colonial.
But, boss, that only leaves us with $20 in the bank. What can you do with $20?
Don't worry. I figure out some way to spend it. It's a customer. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, sir. My name is Johnson.
It's a fine American name. I'm a Luigi Bosco, fine Italian name.
I noticed that silver mug in your window. How much are you asking for it?
Too much.
Well, it's for sale, isn't it?
Sure.
Jimmy.
But Mr. Johnson wants to buy it.
How do you know he wants to pay what I'm going to ask?
Well, what are you asking for that mug?
$100.
Fine.
Oh, that's great.
You sure you want to pay $100?
Yeah?
You're too anxious. How about a $200?
But you just said $100.
Boss, you can't do that.
Why not? All the way is a fellow who sells, he sells high price the first, and then the customer says a low price. I'm running my business different. I'm a start with a low price, and then I go up instead of a customer coming down.
Well, if I said okay to $200, your next price would be $300.
That's right.
That's ridiculous.
Now we're getting it someplace.
I've never done business with a man like you.
That's because this is the first time of you in my store.
Nobody's going to pay you $300 for that cup.
I hope so. That's why it's a $300.
We can't both be crazy.
I explain to you, Mr. Johnson. I only buy this cup this morning.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
When I get a new thing, I like to keep for 2-3 months. Then maybe I sell.
You're the first antique dealer I've ever seen who ages his own antiques. Goodbye, Mr. Bosco.
Goodbye, Mr. Johnson. It's a pleasure to do business with you. Merry Christmas.
Boss.
I know what you're going to say, Jimmy, but don't worry. Is it going to be other customers? Like Uncle Pietro say, is there plenty of fish in the sea? The bigger the bait, the smaller the fish. The smaller the fish, the bigger the bait.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I think maybe Uncle Pietro is a drunk when he say that. Now go in the back and wash your face, Jimmy. It's all dirty.
I was playing football with the other kids.
That's all right. There's no excuse. So go ahead and wash your face, then go out and play some more football. Well, maybe I polish up a cup. It's a wonderful old cup. Older than the United States. People is born. Fight. Die. But a smaller silver cup will live. Maybe I become a philosopher instead of antique dealer.
Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello, hello.
Hello, Pasquale.
Hey, what are you doing with a shaving a cup into your hand?
It's an old mug from the time of Jefferson.
It looks pretty smaller for Jefferson to shave as a mug.
No, it's not for shaving. It's old colonial silver drinking a cup.
What are you talking? A cup is a cup, that's all.
But there's a big difference between cups. I explain. When the people run away from Europe a long time ago, they come here without the furniture, without anything. So when a fellow want a drink, he have no cup.
What's the matter with the paper cups?
Pasquale, in the olden days...
Never mind, Luigi. You in the olden days, old antiques. That's the trouble with you. Everything in this place is old. Even you getting old.
Can't help it. Is it not possible to get younger?
That's why I'm coming over to talk to you. I'm worried about your future, my little man.
I'm thinking about it, too.
I'll save you the trouble. Because without a Pasquale, you've got no future to think about.
Oh, no. No, Pasquale. In America, everybody have a future.
Everybody except to you. Your future, my little friend, is a past.
Oh, no, Pasquale.
Oh, yes, Luigi. But I'm going to give you a big future right now. See this little box?
Yes.
It's a Christmas present.
Thank you, Pasquale.
Don't touch. Luigi, in this little magic box is your whole future.
It's a magic box?
Yes. Don't touch.
It's like a Pandora's box. You know who is a Pandora?
I meet lots of people in my business. I'm not remembering all of the names.
No, Pasquale. It's old Greek story. I explain.
Since when do you speak Greek?
I explain in English. Once there was a Greek lady Pandora, also was a Jupiter.
All right, then never mind explain. Here, take the box.
No, first I explain.
Luigi, take the box.
Okay.
Now open up.
No, Pasquale, I don't marry Rosa.
Wait, wait. See what's inside of the box.
Oh. It's wonderful. What is it?
What is it? It's a wedding array. Look what's written inside.
From Luigi. To Rosa. Oh, no, Pasquale, it's not even for me. Take it back. I'm not going to marry Rosa.
You're not going to marry Rosa?
No.
You said a no?
Yes.
Yes?
No.
Then here's the 5 cents.
What for?
You buy a newspaper.
What for I need the newspaper suddenly?
Because suddenly, Luigi, you need two things. Job and a place to live.
But Pasquale, I got a lease.
Next month is the finish of your lease.
But I'm going to pay my rent.
Where you get the money?
If I don't sell antique, then you lend me money.
I lend you money. Every month I'm lending you money to pay me my rent because you got a lease. Luigi, from now on is a no more lend-a-lease.
But Pasquale, my business.
Business? You're making me laugh. Ha ha. Business. Where's your customers? Only customer you got is a Greek lady, Mrs. the Pandora's or something. Everybody's doing a business. Grocery stores are selling, department stores are selling. Even the post offices are selling more stamps this year than the last. But you...
Business is a little slow right now.
Slow is a boulevard to stop. Now, Luigi, my friend, I'm going to do you a big favor. I'm going to throw you out. Then maybe you find a job in some new business.
I don't know any business.
Then I give you a chance to learn a restaurant a business. That's a business. People always eat, and that's a necessity business. Not the like of antiques. Last night, I have 200 people eating supper in my place.
200 people? It's against the fire law to have more than 100.
Not when the 200 people is 200 firemen. All the night long, and my wife, Teresa, she's a cooking, and I'm a carrying a spaghetti, ravioli, minestrone. She's a cooking, and I'm a carrying, and she's a cooking. It's at 2 o'clock in the morning before I get a chance to eat.
Was the food good?
Who knows? So we go eat at a Chinese restaurant.
You make a lot of money last night, huh?
You betcha I make money. I make money all the time, but you never gonna make any money.
Please, Pasquale, give me a little time. I sell antiques. I advertise in the paper. I'm gonna advertise on the radio.
Antique business is no good.
Maybe I gonna go into other business.
What?
Maybe I get a job teaching English to foreigners.
You foolish man, Luigi. But Pasquale, your friend, knows a way to clear all your problems. And you have a Merry Christmas if you marry. What do you say, my son?
Goodbye, Papa.
And now for the second act of Luigi Basco's adventures in Chicago, we turn to page 2 of his letter to his mother in Italy.
So, Mamma Mia, maybe Pasquale's right. Maybe I know run antique business good. So I have a big talk with myself, and now I'm going to be a first-class business man, just like other Chicago fella, Mr. Sears the Robot. I'm going to sell everything in my store. And if a customer don't pay me his price, or if he don't pay me my price, I compromise. I sell it to his price. Also, I'm not going to be afraid of Pasquale anymore. So I go right the way over to see him. Pasquale, I'd like to see you.
Not for now. I'm busy with important fella. Run along, little antique man. I'm coming to see you later.
Okay, Pasquale.
Go ahead, Mr. Johnson. Before we interrupt you,
That's the fella. You know him?
Sure, I'm bringing him to this country. I'm his landlord. He's my best friend.
He's a very peculiar guy.
I hate him. I'm going to throw him out.
Before you do that, get me that silver cup he has in his window.
I'll give you one of my cups, Mr. Johnson.
No, no, no. I was in there and offered him $100 for it.
You want to spend $100 for that mug?
Yep.
I'll get you all the mugs in the Chicago you want, $50 apiece.
I'll even go to $125.
$125? I bet it don't cost that much when it's a brand new.
Well, naturally. The older an antique, the more it's worth. I've done you a couple of important favors, Pasquale, and...
Oh, sure, you helped me with my license. Are you a friend of the judge?
I want to give that cup to my wife for Christmas. She's nuts for cups.
Mr. Johnson, you go home. I buy it for you. And don't worry. Soon your wife is going to be nuttier than ever.
Okay. Now call me as soon as it's in your hand.
Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello, hello.
Hello, Pasquale.
I'm sorry I was busy when you come in. What do you want to see me about?
Please, Pasquale, maybe you change your mind about the lease. Maybe you don't push me out.
Push you out? Who's going to push you out?
You. You don't remember? I hear you with my own eyes.
Must be another Pasquale, Luigi.
It's impossible. It can't be two Pasquales.
Oh, you're wrong, Luigi. It's a big tragedy in my life because it is two Pasquales. Luigi, I'm a leader double life. I'm a man with two faces.
Must be extra work when you shave in the morning.
Now, don't make a fudder, Luigi. It's really two Pasquales. He's the one Pasquale who's a mean, a selfish. All the time he's a hollering, pay me my money or marry a Rosa.
That's you.
Then is the other Pasquale. He's a gentle fella. He's a kind to people. He's a happy to lend a certain people money.
Is it too bad that the Pasquale, he don't come to America?
Luigi, you must forgive me things I do sometimes. It only happens when the bad Pasquale, he wins over the good Pasquale.
Pasquale, you ever hear of a Dr. Jekyll?
Where has he got his office?
It's a story. Dr. Jekyll and a Mr. Hyde. See, is a one man outside, but inside is a two. I explain.
Listen, Luigi, no explanation. I'm going to come over here now to help you out.
You're going
to
help me out of store?
Stop with this foolish talk. It's Christmas time. I'm going to give you a little money.
You're going to give me money?
Sure. Here's the $25. Take it before Mr. Hyde. He grabs it back.
No, Pasquale, I know can take money just like that.
Is it no use of being a proud of Luigi? I'm your countryman, your friend.
But how I pay you back?
Well, if you feel that way, maybe you're selling me antique for my money, huh? Then it's strictly a business deal.
I never think of you interested in statues.
No, not a statues. I'm thinking about that cup you have at the window.
What the for you want to that cup?
I'm very much interested in that cup.
Oh, sure. It's all the colonial. Maybe even Washington. Sip a little wine from that cup.
Ah, George Washington, eh? Then I tell you what I do. I put this cup in my window, and I put up a little sign. George Washington a sip to here.
It's a nice idea, Pasquale, but I'm paying $50. I'm losing the money if I sell for $25.
I'm only sorry for you for $25 a word.
Then I don't sell.
Okay, I give you $50. When Pasquale is the one to help a friend, expenses are no object, as long as it doesn't cost the money.
Why you suddenly want to buy this a cup?
I love antique cups.
Since when?
Since before.
What the happens?
Luigi, you ever catch me telling the truth before?
No.
All right, Luigi, I'm going to come clean. He's a big political fella, Mr. Johnson. He's do me lots of favor.
Uh-huh.
He's bringing lots of customers into my store.
Oh.
I promise him a cup for his wife.
I'm sorry for you, Pasquale.
Luigi, if I don't get this cup for him, I'm a ruiner. Mr. Johnson, he don't do me favors. He's a friend, so they all stop eating in my place. Then what?
They eat in a Chinese restaurant.
But I'm going to go bankrupt. I'm going to kill myself.
Goodbye, Pasquale.
It's the last straw. Comes at the end of the month, out. There's no more antique stores. It's going to be Schultz's a delicatessen. No more antiques, hot dogs. I'm going to fix...
How much of this politician a fella he offered for cup?
$100.
You tell her the truth, Pasquale?
Luigi, would I lie for $25 a profit?
How you suddenly make a $25 profit?
It's just simple. Mr. Johnson, he's offer $100 for the cup. I'm going to give you $75. If you make a $25, I make a $25. It's a 50-50. What do you say, Luigi?
And take a cup and I'll cost $100.
But, Luigi, you pay $50 for a cup of this morning. Why is it suddenly $50 or more?
Antique is now 8 hours the old than it is worth tomorrow.
All right, Luigi, I'm never going to forget this. Here's $100.
Is the one the condition? Pasquale, you ever hear of a bill of rights?
I'm no interested in your bills.
Is it not my bill? Is it government the bill?
All right, so when they send me, I pay.
No. You don't understand. Bill of rights is from old days. You ever hear of a Jefferson?
Sure. It's a street here in Chicago.
No, not that the one. Thomas Jefferson, he's the right that this the Bill of Rights. I can explain. Oh. See, Pasquale, after the Revolutionary War, they make first the Constitution.
I don't care what they make. I'm interested in the cup.
So Mr. Jefferson, he say, must protect the people. Must guarantee...
Luigi, when I'm on a history lesson, I'm going to go to the newsreel theater. What's the Bill of Rights got to do with a cup?
If you want to buy cup, then you sign Luigi Basco Bill of Rights.
Okay, I sign.
First I must write.
Right.
First, freedom of a press.
Freedom of a press?
Means you must never press me to marry Rosa. Sign the hill.
Okay, I sign, and I'll sell me the cup.
Next is the freedom of speech.
What's that?
Means you're free to make a speech to me about anything except the Marina Rosa.
Luigi, that's a very hard condition. I'm a Rosa's a papa. If I'm going to ask you to marry her, who's going to ask you?
Sign up, Pasquale.
How's about I'm only can ask you on a Sunday?
Well, okay. I make amendment, Pasquale. You promise you'll never ask me to marry Rosa, especially on a Sunday. Sign here.
Okay, I sign. Now the cup.
Wait, Pasquale. Now I hang up for Luigi Basco Bill of Rights next to this picture of a Jefferson. Where you can see it all of the time.
All right. Give me the cup.
First, give me the $100.
Here.
Thank you, Pasquale. I'm a really good businessman, no, Pasquale?
You're improving, Luigi. But you still got to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to be the Pasquale. Now, I'm going to sell this a cup for $125. How you like that?
Eh? Mamma mia.
Mind if I use your phone, my good business friend?
Ah, bravo figaro, bravo bravissime, fortunatissime.
Hello, Mr. Johnson. Pasquale, I got a good news. I buy the cup for $125, but I'm got a sign of my life away to get this. What do you say, Mr. Johnson? Huh? You don't want the cup? Your wife has a new hobby? Collecting $100 hats? No? I'm no angry, Mr. Johnson. That's all right. Goodbye. Luigi, my friend.
Well, Pasquale, you still own beautiful antique cup.
Sure. It's just what I need for my restaurant. I'm going to serve a 5 cent of coffee in a $100 cup. I hope for my customers that they choke. Hey, Luigi, buy back your cup.
How much do you want for it?
What do you mean, how much? The same price I pay, $100.
I give you $75, Pasquale. Is it now second to hand?
Luigi! Give me $100.
If I'm selling for $100 and buying it for $100, there's no profit. No, I give you 75.
Is this your best price?
Is it $25 more than I paid for it?
Okay, here.
Now, here's the $75. You come in again at some time, Pasquale. It's a pleasure to do business with you.
Mr. Bosco.
I'm Luigi Bosco.
Yes, I'm Dr. Simpson, the curator at the museum. You telephoned me this morning.
Oh, yes. It is a pleasure, Dr. Simpson.
Where is the car?
It's right here.
Oh, yes. This looks authentic. I'll just take it back here into the light.
Luigi, who is this fellow?
He's a Dr. Simpson.
He's a friend of Dr. Jekyll?
He's a curator.
What does he cure?
Nothing.
Then why you call him a doctor?
He's a know about antiques.
Oh, then he's a cure antiques, eh?
This cup looks to me as if it might have been made by Benjamin Bird.
Who's this Benny Bird?
One of our early silversmiths. Oh, it's a priceless piece, Mr. Bosco.
How much?
Well, I wouldn't want to say exactly, but I can tell you this. The museum would give a lot to own this one. Here, Mr. Bosco.
Luigi, take your hands off of my beautiful cup.
So it belongs to you.
I'm buying this a cup of backer from you, Luigi. Here's your $75.
Oh, no, Pasquale. Every time I sell you the cup, it's $100, remember?
Is it worth $100, doctor?
All I can tell you, sir, is that if you love silver, this cup is extremely precious.
Suppose I don't love silver. How much is it worth?
I only appraise these items for their artistic value, not their monetary worth. But I would say that it's worth...
Well, never mind, doctor. Before Luigi changes his mind, here's $100, Luigi. Give me the cup.
Okay, Pasquale.
Now, doctor, say as much as you like. I'm listening.
Oh, you're a lucky man, Mr. Pasquale.
Okay, what's your bid?
But, Mr. Pasquale...
$500?
Mr. Pasquale, our museum would love to own this cup if you were willing to donate it.
What's the mean, donate? That's a for dunking donates, is that?
No, Pasquale. Donate is the meaning you give the museum the cup for free.
Free? What do you think? Pasquale's crazy?
Just to think, Pasquale. Every day, thousands of people that go to the museum just to see your free cup.
Is there no Pasquale cup there?
As you wish, Mr. Pasquale. Well,
Please, Dr. Simpson, just one minute. Pasquale.
I'm not listening, Luigi.
Pasquale, inside you now is Dr. Jekyll, and he fights with Mr. Hyde.
This fight, I'm a betting on a Mr. Hyde.
Pasquale, is a big mistake. You rich fella, you give a museum this a cup. It's a wonderful thing for all Italian people when you do this. It show them you kind man, a good man. And every day is thousands of people, they see your name on a little piece of bronze under the cup.
Little piece of bronze. Doctor, maybe next to my name you put something else?
What would you like us to add, Mr. Pasquale?
Just to say, this beautiful cup donated by Mr. Pasquale, 23 North Halstead Street, specially this week, a blue plate of dinner, 2 1/4.
Mamma mia! So, Mamma Mia, I'm making a little money. So Jimmy and I, we're going to have a nice Christmas. Maybe we go ice skating in the lake. Rosa, she says she want to go too. But if she fall once, there's no more ice skating a season. It's a start the rowing a season again. Anyway, Mamma Mia, I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas. Is the most wonderful sound in the whole world when a church bells ring and the people every place, they shake hands and they say, Merry Christmas. across the ocean, Mamma Mia. I send you best wishes for Merry Christmas and the peace on Earth. P.S. Your loving son, Luigi, the little immigrant.
Life with Luigi is a Cy Howard production that is written by High Craft and Cy Howard and stars J. Carroll Nash over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Show, transcribed direct from Hollywood with Les Brown and his band of renown. Our singing star, Margaret Whiting. Our special guest, Robert Ryan. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. There are such big crowds out here now. There are such big crowds of tourists in Hollywood, the footprints in front of the Chinese theater got up and went around to the back. I'm not kidding. Los Angeles is so crowded with tourists, the towels at the Ambassador Hotel are marked his, hers, and you just have to wait till there's room in the tub. I used to eat and drive in restaurants all the time when I first came out here, but I never liked the way they hooked on those heavy food trays. I didn't own a car, and they stretched the pockets of my suit. Something terrible. Anyway, I want to tell you, it's nice to have the tourists with us. I drove up alongside of a car from Kansas, and I said to the woman driving it, "Congratulations, you give hand signals just like we do here in California." She said, "I'm not giving a hand signal. I'm trying to throw away a piece of gum." I have to go somewhere for a vacation. There's so many tourists in California now, there isn't room for the native sons. Native son, that's anyone who lived out here long enough to get a tan, unemployment insurance, and a Cadillac. But everybody likes to travel. Crosby wants to go to Europe, but he can't stay long. If he's not back here in 90 days, the government's going to sue him for non-support. You know, I'm not sure. My sponsor was talking to me about a vacation. He said, "Hope, you need a vacation. You've been working very hard and you must be tired." I said, "Me? I'm not tired." And he said, "Then think of your listeners."
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this may have been a normal week for a lot of people, but it's really been hectic for Bob. It all started when I went over to Bob's house with a piece of startling news. Well, Bob, where are you?
In here, Bill. Hiya, Bill.
Bob, I rushed right over here. I've got some fantastic news for you. I just heard a Hollywood news broadcast. Bing is going to make another road picture, and you're not going to be in it. He's going to make the picture without you.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. No, Bing says in this picture, he's going to cut out the dead weight.
Crosby's a fine one to talk. My weight isn't any deader than his.
I thought you'd be surprised, Rob.
Gee, I don't understand Bing's attitude. You know, my new picture is doing well all over the country. What could a road picture possibly be without me? Why, it'd be sheer
entertainment?
You have a 10-year contract, but it can be canceled at the end of any 5-minute period. I'll get it, Bill.
Hiya, Bob.
Well, Margaret Whiting, come on in.
Hello, Maggie.
Bob, I just dropped in to talk about the music we're going to do on... What are you two looking so excited about?
Bing Crosby is making a road picture, and he's leaving me out of it.
No.
That's right.
Well, rush me a Tutti Frutti Sunday. My world is shattered.
You lay on a line like that. No, you don't seem to realize what's going on, Maggie. This is a big double cross.
Oh, that's silly, Bob. You and Bing ought to be the best of friends. I don't think he means you any harm.
You're right. After all, Bing's just an eccentric old man.
Exactly. Exactly, and that's why you two should get along.
This kid's quite a combination. Half Peggy Lee and half Pinky.
important thing is, what are you going to do about it, Bob?
I don't know.
Well, there's only one thing you can do, Bob. Get out and produce your own road picture. Beat him to it.
Yeah, but that would be a whole new thing. I've never done that before.
Well, so what? You never high jumped before till Zsa Zsa Gabor built that wall around her house.
Yeah, what an awful way to find out she's got a swimming pool.
Hey, that's the thing to do, Bob. Get out and produce your own road picture.
Yeah, but you make it sound easy. Do you know how much money it takes? $1 million.
Well, so what? Somewhere there must be a rich old miser crouching on his money bags who'd part with $1 million.
We're back to Bing again.
Bob, the Bank of America will lend money to an independent producer to make a picture if they know him. What's your credit rating?
333A.
Well, what does that mean?
If we make 3 more payments on our refrigerator, they'll give us back our car. Hey, but that's a good idea, Bill. I think I'll run down to the bank. I know the president, Mr. Harkins.
Mr. Harkins, we'll see you now.
Oh, thank you.
Well, well, Bob Hope. Step right in and have a chair.
Oh, thank you.
Pardon me. Miss Jones, Bob Hope is in my office. Shut off my phones and make sure we're not interrupted. Now, Bob, what brings you to the bank today? Is your milk bottle full of pennies again?
No, Mr. Harkins. I've got something important on my mind. I've got to have $1 million right away.
How much?
I want the money to produce a picture on my own.
But, Bob, $1 million?
Well, what's $1 million? More than that falls out of Howard Hughes sneakers every day. Mr. Harkins, just put the money in my shopping bag and I'll be going along.
Now, wait a minute, Bob. Before we go any further, first there's the matter of collateral.
Well, if you give me the money right away, I won't require any.
I see you're quite a businessman. I always try to judge the man I'm doing business with by his character. Take you, for instance.
What about me?
A good reputation, an honest face, a clean, straightforward look in your eye. I wish you had them.
You didn't talk like this when you were whining and dining me every night trying to get me into your Christmas club.
Now, Bob, let's not have words. We've been friends for 15 years. You may be a big star, but I remember when you used to come in here just to steal our Dixie cups.
Yeah, that was quite a while ago.
Yeah. What's that under your coat?
Oh, force of habit. Now, Mr. Harkins, how about $1 million? Do I get it or don't I?
You certainly don't understand banking, Bob. Before your loan can go through, I have to approve it, the vice president has to approve it, the chairman of the board has to approve it, then it goes to the main office in San Francisco. Then there's still one more step before you get your $1 million.
What's that?
Well, one of our directors has to go on Strike It Rich and win it. All joking aside, though, I'm sorry, Bob. The answer is no. I've got to turn you down.
Okay. So long, Mr. Harkins.
No, Bob. I'll tell you what. I am the president of this bank. I've got some authority around here, and you're Bob Hope. We've been friends for 15 years. Now, while I can't just hand you $1 million, Bob, I'll tell you what I can do.
What's that?
I'll be glad to validate your parking ticket.
Thanks a big heap. I don't understand, Mr. Harkins. I thought this bank invested in movies.
Oh, we do, but naturally we like to be protected. If there were another star in this picture with you, we might go for the proposition.
You mean I've got to have an important name in my picture?
We couldn't consider the deal otherwise.
Oh, thanks a lot. See you later, Mr. Harkins.
Well, goodbye, Bob.
Gee, the bank is crowded today. Pardon me, can I squeeze through here? Thank you.
Hello, Bob.
Huh? Oh, Robert Ryan. Hiya, Bob. Nice to see you, Robert. What are you doing in the bank?
Came in to deposit some money, Bob. My milk bottle is full of pennies again. But it's darn nice to see you, Bob. What brings you into town today?
Oh, a business proposition. I want the bank to lend me $1 million.
This bank is going to lend you $1 million?
I think so. Why?
I'm going to draw my money out.
No, this is strictly business. I'm trying to produce my own picture, and I want the bank to finance it. I've also wired a couple of big money men in the East, and they're flying out to have a conference with me, and we're going to survey MGM and Paramount and rent a few studios. Have you been doing anything exciting, Bob?
I sure have. Yesterday, the washing machine overflowed, and I chased my underwear clear down the driveway.
You know, the bank requires that I have another star in this picture with me.
They do, huh?
Yeah, are you busy right now? Do you have anything coming up?
Thanks a lot, Bob. But Rita's much prettier.
You haven't seen me with my nylon eyelashes. I could start a whole new race. Look, Bob, we can't talk about the picture here. Why we can't talk about the picture here? Not with me wearing my eyeliner and eyelashes. Why don't you come over to my radio show tonight? We'll talk about it.
Fine, Bob.
You know, making an independent picture is a fine investment. I'm sure we could do all right. And, of course, we'll cut up some nice profits.
Well, when it comes to business, I'm just a babe in arms, Bob.
A babe in arms?
Yeah. For instance, who would get the other 50% of the profits?
You mean after my half?
No, after mine.
What did you teeth on, Fort Knox? I'll see you later, Bob. At Capital Gal, assisted by Les Brown, doing Young at Heart.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams, and life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on the way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it is better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part: you'll have a head start if you are among at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part: you'll have a head start if you are among the very young.
Ladies and gentlemen, someone once said, humor's the true democracy. That's why we in America can smile when we tell the stories of the legendary heroes who helped build our country's great industries and institutions. In Mike Fink's day, there weren't any steamboats to transport goods, only long, flat keelboats like barges that had to be poled upstream. And Mike Fink was the greatest keelboatman of them all. He could load it single-handed from stem to stern in less than a half an hour and turn it around on a dime. His strength and skill was the talk of the river. And when the steamboats began to take the place of the keelboats, Mike was the last of the boatmen to admit defeat. But not before he raced the first steamboat clear up the Ohio and beat it. Yes, it is a democracy which lets us tell stories of our industries, institutions, and legendary heroes with a twinkle in our eyes and a chuckle in our throats. And as long as we continue to laugh together as a people, we will live together as a nation. Thank you very much.
Say, where's Robert Ryan? Say, Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
I just phoned Mr. Harkins, the president of the bank, and asked him to come over. We can do a scene from our picture for him. It's going to be a Western, you know. Margaret Whiting will be the girl. All set, Maggie?
Sure, Bob. Gee, it's going to be a pleasure to work with Robert Ryan. Gee, he's made so many wonderful pictures.
Well, thanks, Maggie. I've had my share of luck.
You know, it's strange that you've been making pictures in Hollywood all these years, and yet you've never made one with Bob.
Guess I've had more than my share of luck. Of course, Bob and I have been friends for a long time. When I moved out to Hollywood, Bob was one of the first people I met.
That must have been quite a while ago.
It sure was. Bob wasn't a star in those days. He used to come around to our neighborhood selling Dixie cups.
Well, there wasn't much in it. I hardly made taxi fare from washroom to washroom.
Well, I think it's wonderful that two friends like you are finally going to work together in a picture.
Well, I still haven't made up my mind, Maggie. I don't want to rush into this.
Well, what's the matter, Bob?
You know what can happen to your career in Hollywood if you make a flop picture?
What?
It's goodbye, that's all. Today you're at Ciro's drinking wine, and tomorrow you're up at Fresno crushing the grapes.
Oh, that couldn't possibly happen, could it, Maggie?
You tell him, Purplefoot.
There's nothing to worry about, Robert. We both had experience making pictures. Hey, that must be Mr. Harkins of the bank. Come in.
Oh, hello, Bob.
Oh, hiya, Mr. Harkins. This is Maggie Whiting and Robert Ryan.
Oh, how do you do?
Now, we're all set to do a scene from our picture for you, Mr. Harkins.
Oh, splendid.
It's a comedy scene. I hope you have a sense of humor.
Oh, don't worry about that, Bob. I'm a real kidder at the board of directors meetings. Hey, for instance, did you hear the story of the dirty shirt?
No.
That's one on you. I've got a lot of jokes like that. Ski snoot. Think that one over.
Yes, that was a doozy, all right. He's so square, he blocks his own hats. Well, let's get on with our scene from the road picture. Okay, let's go.
And now we present a story of two strong men and a girl in the Old West, the road to Cactus Gulch.
Yeah, I'm one of the many mentioned folks. They call me Tex. I'm an outlaw. Always been against the law. When I was 6 years old, I shot a man. When I was 8 years old, I shot another man. When I was 10 years old, I shot a couple more men. When I was 12 years old, love came into my life, so I shot a woman. Killed a lot of people in my time. Got so many notches in my gun, I use it to comb my hair. I'm so tough, I can sit on a cactus and not get the point. Man like me doesn't have many friends. Only got one buddy in this whole world, my pal Smokey Jim, back there in Cactus Gulch.
That's me. I'm Smokey Jim. 5 years ago, the people of this here town made me their sheriff. And I'm so proud the star's never been off my chest since. Of course, I'm getting kind of sick of sleeping on my back. Yes, I'm a respected citizen of Cactus Gulch. Even got myself a gal, Maggie Lou, mighty pretty heifer.
Oh, you're playing the guitar kind of sad today, Smokey.
I got a feeling of foreboding. There's something in the air.
What is it?
I don't know. But everything's so still, the leaves are hanging down in the trees. And look over yonder at the mountains. Even the Pecos are pooped.
What's the matter with you, Smokey?
It's just a feeling I got. When I came riding over this morning, there was a couple of dead men laying in front of the saloon. The door was blown off the bank. The schoolhouse was on fire. I just can't put my finger on it, but there's something wrong in this town. Whoa!
Look who it is. It's your old buddy.
Yeah, it's him. Hello, Tex.
Hello, Dopey.
That's Smokey. Well, What are you doing back in Cactus Ghost, Tex?
Oh, Posse's been chasing me for 3 days. I've been riding day and night, and I'm plumb tuckered out. I'm so tuckered out, my plumb is numb.
You better get back on that horse and keep riding, Tex. I'm the sheriff here now, and I've cleaned up this town.
Yeah, leave us be, Tex. Smokey here is trying to go straight. Leave him alone.
Say, you're a cute little palomino. How about some smooching? The girls say I'm pretty good. I got lips like mustard plasters. And they never let go.
Here's my gal, Tex.
Tex and I are fixing to get married. Old Judge Fisher's gonna let us have a cottage over by the Mill Creek. The other side of Spoon River, where Indian Head Mountain juts out and hides the entrance to Moon Valley down back of the Painted Desert.
Yes, sir, we're going to be mighty happy in that house, if we can ever find it.
Yeah, it was a nice dream, but I guess now that Tex is here, you two are going to fight it out to the death.
This town ain't big enough for both of us. I'll fight you bare-knuckle, Tex. I ain't got a gun with me.
Yeah, but I have, and it's pointed right at your head.
Go ahead, shoot. Get it over with. I knew you wouldn't shoot me. You're thinking about the time when we were kids together. You were drowning in the old swimming hole, and I jumped in and saved your life.
No, that ain't the reason.
Then it was the time I saved you from that rattlesnake. At the time you were dying of fever, and I rushed you to the hospital.
Nah.
Then what's the real reason you didn't kill me?
My gun jammed. Draw, Smokey.
I'm warning you, Tex. I'm the best shot in these parts.
Yeah, I'll show you some real shooting. You see that little bird sitting up in that tree? Watch. Looks mighty pretty sitting up there, don't it?
As sheriff, I'm ordering you to leave the county, Tex. And when I say you're a-leaving, you're a-leaving.
I say I ain't a-leaving.
I say you are a-leaving.
Ain't a-leaving.
Are a-leaving.
Ain't a-leaving.
Are a-leaving.
This may be bigger than Oh My Papa. Okay, reach for your gun, Smokey, and we'll shoot it out.
Start blasting, Tex.
No, Tex. You can't kill my Smokey. He's all I have in the world. You can't do this to me. You can't. You can't. You can't.
Stand back, gal.
No. I can't let you kill my man. It's too awful. You can't do it. Do you hear? You can't. You can't. You can't. Oh.
Nobody's gonna steal a scene from us. How was that, Mr. Harkins? You like that scene from our picture?
I certainly did. And I'm lending you the money to start production immediately. Oh, but there's one thing. Robert Ryan will play the leading role.
Yeah, but what about me?
You're out, Bob. Well, Mr. Ryan, you're an excellent actor.
Thank you very much.
Well, come on, Mr. Ryan. Let's go over to my office and we'll discuss the details.
So long, Bob.
Yeah, but... How do you like that? I invite Robert Ryan to my show and he takes over the whole thing. He winds up with the job, the money, the picture, and everything. I've never been so mad about anything in my whole life. You shut up! Where's that gun? Looks mighty pretty sitting up there, don't it?
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Be sure to tune in next time, my friends, for another classic comedy radio show. I'm Greg Fordyce.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.